Our reading this morning, second readings from the book of James, just a couple of verses here in the first chapter. As we consider what James said to the church, may we listen for what God says to us. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, in your mercy, speak, and by your Spirit, help us listen. Through Christ we ask. Amen. If you know me, if you've probably been around me, you know that generally speaking, I'm not at a loss for words. Comfortable speaking, pretty quick to speak, usually. There is one notable exception. Ask me my favorite something, and I freeze up. I don't know what it is. I'm terrible at favorites, except for color, which has always been purple. I can't tell you a favorite food, song, sport, sports team, book, movie, restaurant. I don't have favorites. I can't, in my mind, get everything down to one. Either I can't make a decision, or I overthink it, or it's the pressure of choosing. But ask me my favorite, and I just vapor lock. And Michael knows this. He's seen it happen numerous times. We do this online Bible study, and we have some just open talking at the beginning of it where we were waiting for people to sign on. And once in a while, the topic of a favorite thing comes up, and I just start stammering. So for a while, Michael was pretty good. He would say, "What's one of your favorites?" But then I noticed last spring, he went back to favorite. And I think he just likes watching me struggle. I will find out after this sermon, but I think it's sort of on purpose. And I start with this because one of the favorite questions that comes up once in a while, somebody will say, "Pastor, what's your favorite Bible verse?" Because I guess that's a normal thing that normal people have. But my squirrel brain starts running through all the possibilities. Well, are we talking about young people? Because then it's let no one look down on you because you're young. Or are we talking about a verse to use with middle schoolers? Because then it's like a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool to their folly. Are we talking deep theology? Because then it might be from Ephesians. We are what God made us, creating us in Christ to do his work. Or maybe the verse before that that says you are saved by grace and not by works. Or are we talking church? There's a wonderful verse in Acts where it says the assembly was in confusion. Some people were shouting one thing and some people were shouting another thing, and most didn't know why they were there, which is 92% of church meetings I've ever been to. Or the time David was hiding and they capture him, and to try and get out of it, he acts insane. And the king looks at David and says, "Did you bring me another crazy person? Don't we already have enough of them?" That's a good church verse. But if you narrowed it down and you asked me very specifically, "Clint, what is a great verse for practically living out the faith?" I probably land in the book of James. I've told you before, it's one of my favorite books. Martin Luther wanted it out of the New Testament. but I like it. Depending on the day, like today, for instance, I might answer with the verse we just read. Be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and be slow to become angry. I know it's not Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. It's not deep, it's not weighty. Probably no doctoral dissertations have been written on it, though maybe they should be, because I think what it is convicting. It's applicable. More of us as Jesus people should try to follow it. And as I interact with the world lately, it seems like a lot of us heard it backwards. Like it got mistranslated, and we thought it said, be slow to listen, be quick to anger, and be quick to speak. It could just be me, but it seems like, it feels like, a lot of people in the world are walking around about 50% ticked off, just waiting for someone they don't agree with to blow up on. And there is nothing wrong with having opinions. But when we carry them like clubs, it's a problem. I think these words from James are a timely gift to believers, and I want to go through them with you. Be quick to listen. Literally, this reads something like, be fast toward hearing. Had a wedding right here yesterday, and a beautiful young couple standing in front of me, and one of the things I always try to tell couples is listen to each other. Learn to hear one another. And of course, every young couple thinks they already do that. But nearly every old couple who's been married a while says something like, he or she doesn't listen to me. And I've admitted this before. It took me about 20 years to realize I don't listen to Jane. Now, what I mean is it took me a long time to realize that when we were arguing, I wasn't trying to hear what she was saying. I was trying to hear the words so I knew how to argue back. I was listening so I could win. I wasn't trying to understand. I was trying to counterattack. When you take the time to listen, to let someone finish speaking, not to roll your eyes and not to think, how am I going to argue? You know what? It doesn't hurt anything. You don't lose. They don't win. Your words don't have to cut off their words. It just means you're trying to treat someone, even someone you might not agree with kindness and respect. There's a beautiful thing here. In Greek, the word for listen can also be translated to understand. And I really like that. Almost never can you understand someone without listening to them. And really, that should probably be the goal. Not winning, not silencing, not changing their mind, not correcting, but connecting. And if you are right, and I'm sure you are, maybe we shouldn't have to tell them. Maybe they'll figure that out by the way that we treat them. James says to these Christians trying to be church together, in the very first thing he writes to them, be quick, be in a hurry to listen to one another. And he follows that up by saying, be slow to speak. Take time before speaking. And if you know the book of James, you know that James has a lot to say about our words. James has a lot to say about our speech. And keeping our words under control and keeping our speech under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I realize in a social media world, soft-spoken doesn't get a lot of clicks. But the Christian goal is not to get attention, but to be faithful. And part of what that means is before speaking, we consider, does this thing need said? Is it helpful? Is it Christ-centered? Am I able to say it in love? Will it hurt someone? Will it demean someone? Why am I saying it? And how should it be said? Christians need to examine our words and our motivations and their impact before we talk. James has another great verse later where he says, look, sometimes you praise God and then you curse others and you're getting it wrong. I know it is tempting to think that what the world needs, what someone needs, is my voice, my opinions. Maybe. Probably not. And yes, there are times to speak even hard truths. But that should come after we have examined our own hearts and measured those words very carefully. Otherwise, friends, I think we are in danger of arguing and not witnessing. You can't be quick to listen and quick to speak. It doesn't work. It is maybe impossible to understand while you are talking. And then James moves to the last part of the trifecta. Be slow to anger. The word anger here, vengeance, wrath, indignation, attack. This might be the hardest one. Patience before anger. Slow to be offended. Restraint before attack. Christians should not be hair trigger people. We should not blow up ready to go from 2 to 10 for no real reason. The root word for anger means swollen, swelled up. Too many are swollen with anger, looking for any even little reason to explode, to burst. For too many of us, anger is a kind of home base, and we keep returning there. And I get that. I promise you I get that. I am really good at anger. You can ask my family or anyone who's gone golfing with me. I know anger. And trying to do better, there's this quote that I've held on to. It's a favorite-ish quote. It's not from the Bible. It's actually pre-New Testament from a man you know named Aristotle. And I hold on to this quote, though I often fail to live up to it. Aristotle wrote, anybody can be angry. It's easy. But to be angry at the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right way, that is not easy at all. Yeah, no kidding, Aristotle. I doubt James knew that quote, but I'm pretty sure he would like it. I have little doubt he would agree with it. I don't know if this is everybody's experience, but it feels to me like the world has enough anger right now. We certainly don't need Christians adding to it. I suspect most of us don't go a week without some angry Christian on one of our screens screaming about what is wrong, who is evil, who should be punished, and what we should hate or attack. And this isn't new. I mentioned Martin Luther earlier. Luther loved attacking people. He loved insulting people. Probably not the complete story, but I think maybe that's why he didn't like the book of James. But James adds a commentary to this one. It's only one of the three. be quick to listen. He lets that stand. Be slow to speak. He lets that stand. Be slow to anger. And then he adds something. He adds, for anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. Our anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. If James is right, that means the screaming preachers and the angry Christians are probably wrong. And our prayer instead should be to only be angry about what makes God angry, without assuming that's all the same stuff that ticks us off. Statistically and biblically speaking, when we are mad about something or someone, there is very little chance that's helping us become righteous. And it is probably not, if we're honest, ultimately about Jesus. Yeah, I don't know if anyone writes a dissertation on this verse, but I know we should all know it. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. I suspect those words are too convicting to be anyone's favorite verse. But they're really good. We could work on those three instructions for the rest of our lives. And friends, I think we should. Because if more of us could put more of that into practice more often, we, the faith, the church, and even the world would be better off. And we would be a lot further down a better path than we are now. So today, may we be willing to say, that starts with me. Today, may we be willing to sit under these words from James as a pathway of how Christians are called to live. Friends, let it start here, that it might also go out there. Amen.